I'm an addict named Renee.
Hey, Renee.
And so our topic is our hope grows as we stay clean. So I just want to thank Hackna for allowing me to share my experience, strength, and hope. You know, my clean date is 7/28/1992. And I am truly grateful for this program. And so hope. You know, when I came in, I felt like I was hopeless. I came because somebody, and I'm just talking about the time where I stuck and stayed, because the introduction to Narcotics Anonymous was back in 1986, but it took me to 1992 to really, like, dig in, right? And so, you know, by that time, after several relapses, going back out, it was just like I was just so beat down. And I really was hoping somebody would take me out. That was my first hope. It was like, just take me out my misery. I don't have the courage to kill myself, but I'm tired of using, right? And it didn't happen. Somebody said to me, somebody I ran into going to get some cigarettes that knew my family was looking for me, because I was like hiding out, getting high. And I was like, oh my God. And he was like, and I was like, look, I just hope somebody killed me out there. He said, but suppose you don't die. Suppose you end up just like handicapped or have a stroke and can't take care of yourself. You know, who are you to say that you're going to die? Because you may not. You may just suffer for the rest of your life. And man, that thing stuck with me so bad. And I was like, man. And then I was hoping that he's told on me where he saw me at. You know, and he did. And then I went to detox. And so I went to detox, and I just couldn't. I would go to the rooms before that, and I would think that, well, I'm not like this, and I'm not like that. I really couldn't listen to the desperation and the pain of and suffering of being an active addict. Only thing I could do was get in there. I was in denial so deep, was compare myself to other people. And so when I went to detox, it was my first time in detox, they had ran out of money to send me to rehabs anymore. H&I came in, right? And before that, H&I would be AA. That was my really first people that came in from Narcotics Anonymous. And man, it was like the lady has shared at our speaker tonight. It was I could relate to everything they said, right? Like finally, I could hear the desperation. Finally, I knew that it was spiritual. It wasn't just so much of dereliction and everything else. Spiritually, I was broken, right? And I started going to Narcotics Anonymous meetings. And my romance with drugs was so long and so tough, like the progression. Like, you know, I started sipping a little bit, playing around, stealing alcohol, long before I was 12, but by the time I was 12, I was smoking weed every day. You know, babysitting, stealing change from my mother, putting together, back then you can get really big bags of weed for $5. It was like totally different, right, than today. And then the progression happened, you know, to the pills, to the acid, then to IV drug use. And then it was like, oh, you need to get off of that. Here, take this cocaine, right? And so the progression was there and was always there. So I really didn't know anything about being myself and what that felt like. All I knew is that I needed to medicate every day to just be alive, you know, just to function, period. And Narcotics Anonymous is like, you know, complete abstinence. And I was like, oh, my God. And so I'm going to be honest, I grieved about getting high. Even though I wasn't getting high anymore, there was such a void there when I stopped using. And then the hope was being able to listen to other people. And they were going through a lot of things in their life, and they were surviving without getting high. You know, back then, AIDS was rampant, and people, people were coming in, and the drugs really hadn't evolved to where it is now, and they were ill, and they were sick, and they were not using. And I was like, what? People were coming in with cancer, all kind of health problems, and they were not using. And I was like, man, no matter what is real, like they were, and I just couldn't believe it, but they weren't using. And so that gave me hope, right? You know, and it became greater as time went on. Then I felt like, well, you know, all I knew about survival was being some, having an enabler. I was married when I came in. I didn't know how to really fend for myself in any other arenas, like, you know, having a real job that's going to pay me some real money, you know. And that was another whole shot. My sponsor was like, I see you like all these nice things. Like, can you support yourself without your husband? I was like, what? Why would I even think of that, right? I mean, like, she would just put stuff out there on the table for me. And I was like, I thought about it. And the truth was, I couldn't have that kind of life. And so it motivated me to do something about it. And she goes, what do you like to do? What do you think you like to do? And all I wanted to do was take a shortcut all the time. You know, I said, well, I'm going to be a notary. I wasn't making no money doing that. So I was like, okay, I'm going to be a cosmetologist. I'm going to do hair and stuff like that because I like instant gratification. So if I'm doing hair and stuff like that, that's an instant gratification. But what happened was I didn't have the patient intolerance for people because I was used to being high. And it was like, you can't come in here and ask for a Holly Berry haircut and your face is round like a pumpkin. It's not going to work. And it's like, why are you talking to people like that, right? And it was like, I was just trying to be, I had no filters at that point. You know, I'm just learning how to just like, who am I? And I said, well, you know, I wasn't going to like, oh, okay, just take somebody money and things like that. And so I wasn't good at that either. But believe it or not, I was working in the casino and table games, right? And so that was from back in the 80s. So that helped me it was hard for me to come in because it was so easy to score for absolutely a smile, right? And I got clean. I worked in a casino for 17 years. And when I left there, I was 9.5 years clean. I had went to school, found out I was good in technology, and it just kept going from there. Here I am, a high school dropout. I had no attention to do or nothing else. Got the GED, you know, and then I get a job, and then I ask them for more money. And they're like, but for what? And I was like, well, I'm doing a good job. And I was like, I can't survive off of this. Because by that time, you know, I had a divorce and everything else, so I knew how it felt not living off my husband's money, my ex-husband. And she said, well, you need to go to school if you want more money. And then that's how I ended up going to college. And I'm going to tell you, this is a big hope shot for me. And it's like the program really works for me. When I do my step work and I have changed my perception, I want to tell you something. It attracts people to even want to be a part of whoever I am. Because I didn't even know. They telling me, oh, you should go to school. We'll give you more money. They paid for my school for a 2-year degree. Then I was like, is this all? And it was like, but I still had no filter. But I learned how to speak up for myself. That's what this program taught me. You know, it's just a way to say things. It's just your delivery is everything. But this program gave me the courage to change the things that I could, right? And that serenity prayer really carried me through most of my life, and it still does. But in my early years, man, that was it. I would be so afraid. And I was like, I need the courage. I need to pray. And pray to who? Like, I'm telling you, I came in here without a God in my understanding. But I tell you, I stopped being a rebel without a cause, and I started following suggestions. Right. And it's like, well, you shouldn't just like go and ask like that. I'm just like, well, what am I supposed to do? Write a letter, you know? And they're like, no. And then lo and behold, they said, well, you need a bachelor's degree. You want that much money. So I went back right? And it's like, and it really was like that, but I give it all to Narcotics Anonymous, right? Because without the women, men and women in my life calling me out on my attitudes and things like that and encouraging me to do better constantly, it wasn't just about step work. That's where that home group come in at. Right. And you talking with people in your home group and letting them get to know you and what's going on with you. Well, I did this and I did that. And this is what worked for me. And that's what worked for me. And then you have your sponsor to help you change your perception and give you those coping skills in life, because I didn't have any coping skills. I got high over everything. Happy, sad, anything, everything. You know, so it was very hard in the beginning to let it go. But I think I grieved drugs for close to a year, and I went to a meeting many times a day when I wasn't working, and once I was working, at least once a day I was there. And the weekend, I doubled down because I thought something else was wrong with me outside of being an addict. And come to find out, just practicing the principles of this program gave me the realization that I'm not as bad as I thought I was, right? And I'm not any different from you. Right? You know, my aspirations or whatever I want may be different there, but the core of this disease is the same for me and for everybody that I have talked to about it. And so, you know, that's how I end up here in Texas. And I'm telling you, Texas have been good to me. You know, I hear stories about, you know, like I heard a really tough story about NA not showing up for them and things like that. Since I've been in Texas, NA has showed up for me every single time. Every life-changing event that have happened, Narcotics Anonymous have been here for me, you know. And they give me the hope and the strength to carry on. Like, I hear the stories about people losing people. I've lost parents. I lost my favorite auntie. I've lost my second husband. You know, all of this happened up in here. Right, some of it happened here in Texas, some of it happened other places, but Texas, man, I mean, I didn't even have no relatives here, and they just like showed up, just like the word got out, and they was at the door. What can I do? I'm gonna sit here with you for a couple hours. When so and so get off work, they're gonna come by here too, you know. And for that, I am forever grateful. And so, moving on, I've been here for 13 years. I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Ain't know nothing about no meetings while I was there. That was one of the biggest meeting hubs ever. And I end up down in Atlantic City, New Jersey. I did a geographical change because my family said, you need to get away from them people that you around, because you just don't seem to be getting anywhere. And your life is just terrible. I come to your house, it's dirty, my apartment. And I was like, you're right. And I left. I was like, you are right. And I took and got my little license to work in the casino. And then I get down there on the news. It was a drug bust. I was like a little alcoholic when I was there. I was drinking all the time. And then there was a drug bust. And I got in the cab and went down there where they got the drug bust at. I was like, thank God I can get a little something, because I thought I only needed a little something. And I was off to the races in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And I'm going to tell you something. People, I love NA, the people that speak up. You know, it's getting a little soft lately. People get a little upset when you say something to them and things like that. And it's like, I'm not trying to start a world war. But, hey, that's how I was raised in Narcotics Anonymous, you know. You share and you let people know. It's like, yeah, delivers everything. I don't curse at people or everything. I was a terrible sponsor my first 6 years or so. I was awful. And I've gotten better over years because I was very direct. And so it's a nice, you could do better. I could do better, right? And that's what I do. And I love sponsorship. I allow myself to be sponsored. You know, I still do step work. Clean 33 years. I just finished my fourth step. Well, I don't even know. I stopped counting how many times, because obviously I need to do it, because I get caught up, right? I get self-centered. I want to control some things. I become unmanageable in other areas, especially with emotions, you know, and that's really scary for me, because I use over emotions more than anything else. And so when I start getting that way, when I need to go give myself a timeout a lot, you know, because I just can't, you know, manage my anger and stuff like that, and I need to walk away. That's it, you know. But all these spiritual principles I learned from working the steps in the program, I call other people, I let people know what's going on. Pain share is pain lesson. Even if I'm having a bad day, let me reach out to somebody else. And sometimes when I call them, by the time they get finished, I realize, well, I'm not really having a bad day. I was just trying to control some things that just didn't work out. You know, and that was it. You know, the relief of us being, you know, the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is just amazing. And just like, look, I sponsor women, but if you see me in a way and I call you, give me that back. Tell me, because I'm not going to be offended, because I'm trying to save my life and I'm calling you and telling you, girl, I'm really going through something right now. And be like, what? It's like, look, send me to some literature, send me somewhere, but please don't leave me hanging, you know. And that's really, you know, how this program works. If you work it, if you put down being a rebel, because I know a lot of people are. It's like, yeah, that sounds good, but I think that I could cherry pick off this step, you know. I have power sometime, you know, and I'm not powerless, and I'm not really trying to manage it. I'm just trying to, I'm not really trying to control it. I'm just trying to manage a few things. Like, no, let's just stop it and put it down. And you'd be surprised when you do, right? Because eventually I was like 17 years clean when I got a power greater than me, when I could really call it out and really get into it. Before the longest, it was the spiritual principles of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, that's all I can hold on to. You know, all of us have a different journey. I've seen some things and been through some things. I'm not trying to do a drug log here, so I ain't got to go through all that. We all know the horrors of addiction, right? And it's like, but look, at some point, you know, change has to happen. Right? And this is what I've been told. If I'm not working on my recovery, I'm working on my relapse. You know, I've relapsed enough to know that that is true. Right? And it's like, man, the coping skills I have learned from this, the longer I stay, the more hope I have. Right? You know, who'd have thought that I would be all the way in Texas because of a career? What? It's like, this like beyond my wildest dreams all the way through. And I even want to say, I even got husband number three over there nodding. You know? It's like, who'd have thought I'd be getting married again? Because I could be a mean little something, you know, when I'm not working my program, you know? And it's like, look, I get a chance to breathe, reprieve, share what's going on with me, be there for someone else, you know? And everything works out the way it's supposed to. It don't have to work out the way I wanted to, but I have been gifted the coping skills from this program to make it through. I don't have to use. And so thanks for letting me share. All right.
And then next we have Mr. Scotty J.
All right.
All right. Hello. My name's Scotty and I'm an addict.
Hey,
all right. I want to thank HACNA, the Houston Area Convention, for allowing me to come and share my experience, strength, and hope. Thank you, Renee, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. And, man, wow. You know, I'm grateful. And, you know, before I get started, I always like to tell you a little bit about myself, right? You know, I grew up in Houston. My mom had 9 kids, right? I was the youngest out of 9. You know, and there was a lot of things that happened, man, in the household, right? I mean, you know, it was a lady she used to catch me in the house and she would drag me in the room. And I'm 9, 10 years old. She used to let me get on top of her and hump on, all that kind of thing, right? You know, it was inappropriate, right? And then my uncle catch me in the house. He grabbed me real tight. He didn't remove my pants or nothing, but it's still inappropriate, right? And you know, these are some of the things that happened as a kid. And what it is, man, is that, you know, as I was growing up, I dropped out of high school, just like she was saying. But I want to tell a newcomer, hey newcomer, that I did go back to get my GED. So you can do that, you know. And so you know, and I and So I call myself dysfunctional addict, right? You know, I would go to work, right? I was too scared to steal because mama always told me, she said, if you go to jail, I'm not going to come get you out of jail, right? And she scared me straight. That's how mother was, right? And she just scared us straight. You know, she didn't really put out her hands on us, but she would tell you, look, you know, if you do this, I'm not going to back you up on it if you're doing wrong, right? And so as I got older, man, I was working. And then when I got paid, I went spent all my money, you know, and so I call myself dysfunctional addict, but I hit my bottom, and my bottom ain't like everybody else's bottom. My bottom was a pair of Bo Jackson sneakers that I bought in the late 80s, right? I don't know if everybody know who Bo Jackson was. He was a two-star football player and baseball player, right? And he had his own shoes just like Michael Jordan had his own shoes back in the late 80s. And I put them in a layaway, man. I put these shoes in a layaway, right? And I had them in a layaway for months. I got them out the layaway. I got paid that Friday. I got them out the layaway. Went to the cutout, and I put them on my feet. I got all dressed up, you know. I put them on my feet. I went to the hangout with the guys on the cut, on the corner. And I told the dope man, I told myself, I said I was gonna get just one. How many of y'all know that it wasn't just one? You know, I ended up spending all my money, and then after I spent my money, I went back up to the dope man. I said, hey man, look, I just spent all this money with you. What can you do for me? Man, he looked down at them brand new pair of Bo Jackson sneakers. He said, what you wanna do for them sneakers? And I said, what? He said, what you wanna do for them? So I end up taking them shoes off my feet. He gave me some crumbs, man. And that was my bottom, man. You know, I told myself, once I start taking clothes off my back for this dope, it's time to stop. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that's them. I got here through H&I, right? Now, I got a brother, man, that's been clean just as long as I have, over 34 years, right? And what he told me, he said, he had a friend that got him in the program. His friend's job sent him to rehab. My brother's friend told him about Narcotics Anonymous, and he ended up telling me about Narcotics Anonymous, right? And so I remember, man, when I came to my first meeting, it was at St. Joseph, here in Houston, Alive and Kicking group. And man, that was the autonomy of the group is that they had somebody at the door to give you a hug before you came in, right? And that's the autonomy of, it's still the autonomy of that group right now, right? And man, I walked up to the door because of what I went through. Right, as a kid, it was a big old guy. He was standing there, and he opened his arm. He's trying to give me a hug, right? And man, I put my arm out. I said, man, don't hug me. You know, I said, don't hug men because of what I went through in my childhood. See, the thing I found out that some things that happened in my childhood, right, comes up to my adulthood, right? You know, it's that triangle of self-obsession, the anger, the resentment, and the fear, man. You know, those things come back up. And what it was, man, I told him, I said, man, don't hug me. And then he said, hey, man, we give hugs around here. And he ended up giving me this big old hug. And to be honest about it, I needed that hug. I needed that hug, man. And so once I got the hug, and I remember sitting in my first meeting, and I was sitting there, and I'm hearing people sharing into their lives. And man, you know, they were saying some stuff. I say, man, ain't no way. I say, ain't no way I'm telling nobody none of that. You know, because, see, some of the things that I went through in my childhood, I was going to take to my grave. I wasn't telling nobody. The things that I just told y'all today, I was taking that to my grave. I wasn't telling nobody that. You know, because just like I said in the fourth step, you know, I would think y'all, I'm this monster that if y'all find out who I was, right, you know, y'all wouldn't like me anymore, right? And so I wasn't telling nobody that, but thing about, one thing I know about this program, they say secrets keep us sick, right? You know, they say defects grow in the dark, but they die in the light of exposure, right? And so, man, you know, I one thing I've been doing for over 34 years, I tell on myself. That's the only thing I know how to do is just tell on myself, man. And so sitting in that first meeting, right, and I heard people shining into their lives going, man, wait a minute. You know, I said, man, I ain't telling nobody. And what happened is that, you know, what really got me in my first meeting was at that time, back in 1991, right, they was saying the Lord's Prayer at the end of the meeting. It was that prayer that our Father, which are in heaven prayer, right? It was that prayer they were saying that in them. And I told myself, I said, if they saying this prayer, right, in this meeting, this is exactly where I need to be. Because I'm telling you, when I was using, right, man, I remember days I was getting loaded, man. And I remember days getting on my knees and saying, God, could you please help me? You know, I remember praying, say, God, could you get me off of this stuff, right? And you know what? And he came through for me in the form of the narcotics anonymous. You know, I mean, you know, and the thing about it, man, is that, you know, when they said that prayer, I say, man, and then, you know, another thing, you know, and you know how the second step say? They say you can call it the group, you can call it the program, or you can call it God. And so when I first got here, it was the group. It was y'all. It was the group, man. It was y'all with y'all. Mr. T started Kids On, right? You know, that's when I got here. Had them mental sticker. It was y'all with y'all clean clothes. You remember? You know, it was y'all with y'all clean clothes. Y'all had clean rides. You know, it was the group. And so when I got here, man, I acted as ill for a long time. I just did what y'all did. When y'all told me to keep coming back, I kept coming back to see what y'all keep coming back. I show every time the person told me to come back, every time I stepped in the room, I looked around. Oh, I said, oh, that's Jesse. He told me to keep coming back, and he's back. You know, and so that gave me hope, right? You know, that gave me hope. And so, you know, and man, I kept doing. I just mimicked what y'all was doing. Y'all say, y'all gave me a blueprint. Y'all say, Scotty, keep coming back. And then I'll say, come back clean. Y'all say, Scotty, make 90 meetings in 90 days. Y'all say, Scotty, get you a sponsor. Y'all say, Scotty, work the steps. And then y'all say, Scotty, and get you some literature. That's what y'all told me. And, man, and that's been working for me for over 34 years. And I keep repeating that. This is a repetitious program. And you know what, man? And you know, and I'm glad about, you know, just those five suggested readings. You know, who's an addict? What is the Narcotics Anonymous program? Why are we here? How it works? And the 12 traditions. Man, we read those meetings every meeting. And guess what? They don't get old. Those readers do not get old. And I remember, man, times I was sitting in a meeting, and, man, and you know, sometimes you can be sitting in a meeting, right, and you'll be looking at the wall, and I remember all the slogans and the cliches, you know. They had one up there say, think, think, think. They had another one up there that said, keep coming back. You know, they had all these cliches and slogans all over the wall, right? And you know, and I remember those slogans, man, and you know, those slogans help me, you know, even the serenity prayer, you know, because I remember, man, time, I think I had about 6 months clean, right? And man, this what really got me, right? And I was staying at my mother's house, right? And all my brothers and sisters were staying there, but they was using, right? And I was the only one. I was like 6 months clean. I'm trying to stay clean, man. I went into my room and can see it was, I think it was a Friday night, and they was all using. And I ain't had nowhere else to go because, you know, because when I got here, I ain't have a pot to piss in and a window to throw it out of. I didn't have nothing. So I was staying with my mother. And the thing about it is that I knew if I would have came out of that room, I was going to use, man. And you know, what I did, I sat in my bed, and I sat up in that bed, and I looked up to the sky, and I put my hands in the sky. And I asked God, tears coming down my face. I asked God, I said, could you please help me? And, man, God allowed me to cry myself to sleep. He allowed me to cry. I cried myself to sleep that whole night. And, man, when I woke up the next morning, everybody was gone. And I knew at that time, I said, God got to want me to stay clean. I said, he got to want me to stay clean. If, man, I'm telling you, newcomer, if you found this program, man, you found something. Don't leave. Right? Stay. You know, man, I mean, because guess what, man? That, you know, it talks about in the literature, man, it's a for an addict not using as an abnormal state.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always in an abnormal state. You know what a normal state is for an addict? It's using. That's the normal state. I'm always staying in the abnormal state. You know what, man? Guess what? I got to keep this program as a priority, man. I got to always, you know, because I look at it like this, you know, first God, then me, then the program, right? And then everything else after that. You know, I can't put nothing ahead of this program. You know, it talks about on the page, on page 57, it say the program won't work if I try to adapt it to my life. and say, I must learn to adapt my life to the program. You know, and so that's the thing, man, is that I can't live my life. I can't function my life without this program. You know, and I'm so grateful that God was able to allow me to find Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and man, and I done seen so many miracles happen in this program. You know, I done seen people come in. I remember some ladies, they would come into the rooms and they'd come in by themselves, right? And they're sitting in that seat and they go to Sharon, they be crying. Tears coming out there, and one lady was crying, and she said, they asked her what was wrong, and she said, oh, no, I want my babies back, and she was crying that she wanted her kids back, right? And then, next thing you know, man, after a while and by, man, I seen that same lady coming down with some kids behind her, right? And she sat down, and she sat with them kids, right? And she raised her hand again. They said, come on. And she was crying again. She said, they asked her, what's wrong? She said, I wish somebody take these bad kids. You know. And the thing about it, that is some of the miracles, right, that happened in this program. You know, I done seen members come together, man. I done seen members come. Man, people come in and say they don't have furniture. I seen guys come in with trucks the next day, come in with trucks of loaded of furniture in the back of the truck and say, where do you live? I'll help you take it to the house. I done seen people come in here saying they didn't have any clothes, right? And I seen people leave the next day, they would bring clothes to the members that was needing, that needed something, man. You know that therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. You know, and man, I've seen the miracles that happen in this program, man. And, you know, and so like early in my recovery, man, you know, because I got married early in this thing, right? You know, I've been married twice, divorced twice, right? You know, I got married early in this thing. And, man, like I say, man, I had for a long time, man, and I was clean. I had a wife and about two or three girlfriends. Clean. You know what I'm saying? And the thing about it, man, is that, you know, I was wrong for that, right? You know, and the thing about it is that, yeah, I'm, you know, early in recovery, I did work some steps, but early in recovery, I ain't put in a whole lot of work, right? You know, and what it was, man, is that, you know, that hurt me early in recovery. But one thing I knew, even though I was going through all of that stuff, one thing I knew was staying clean had to come first. It says that in the first step, staying clean has to come first, right? No matter what I was going through. And the thing about it, man, is that, yeah, you know, I went through a whole lot of things, man. You know, I remember coming to meetings, you know, I'd be all cleaned up like, you know, kind of like I am today, right? And I was like, I was a dressed up garbage can, right? You know, I would come to meetings and, man, people would see me and they would say, hey, Scotty. And I would smile at them. I'd say, hey, how you doing? You know, but I was messed up inside because guess what? I wasn't putting in work. You know, one thing about, man, these steps, man, is that, man, they vital, man, to our recovery. They vital. You know what I'm saying? And newcomer, if you got a sponsor, see, early recovery, I had a sponsor by name for a long time. We did some work, but we didn't do a whole lot of work. And guess what? That wasn't his fault. That was my fault. You know, the literature says, Scotty, you're not responsible for your disease, but you are responsible for your recovery, right? I am. And so if you got somebody in your life that need to help you in your cup, man, you need to get somebody that I had to move around. I had to get somebody that was going to help me in my recovery. And today, man, I got a sponsor that I call every day. You know, I remember that former sponsor, I was still clean. I would call him. He wouldn't call me back. You know, I remember that sponsor that he wouldn't pick up the phone, right? You know, and man, I'm telling you, and that, like I said, it hurt me so much because I walked around in pain and I didn't have to. I walked around in a lot of pain. You look, newcomer, you don't have to walk around in pain today. You know, these steps are made to be worked in order. I'm telling you, man, if you do this step working process, right, you're gonna get some out of it, right? You know, and it took, you know, I had to go up on the rough side of the mountain, right? But newcomer, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do like I did, right? You know, you don't have to. You can get you a sponsor, man, that want to help you in your recovery and cling on to that. You know, cling on to that, and that's what. I remember. You know, I got here in '91, right? And I remember when that step working guidebook came out. You know what I'm saying? And I remember picking up that book, right? And I looked at all those questions in that book. Because I've been clean. I was clean for a little while then. Man, I slammed that book closed and threw it down. I said, man, I ain't got to do all this. I ain't got to answer all these questions. But I'm going to tell you now, I have answered every last one of them questions in that book with a sponsor. Because I love all our literature, right? And so for me, man, it talks about in the Living Clean, the Journey Continues book, right? On page 237. It say, honest sharing is always attractive. And then it goes on to say, even when we're sharing some really unattractive stuff. So sometimes my share is not going to be attractive. Right. Sometimes I'm gonna share some unattractive stuff, man. But you know what? And so what I love about it, man, is that, you know, and when y'all share, man, it helps me, right? You know, it helps me get through my situation. And so the reason why, man, that I, you know, a lot of times, you know, just what I shared earlier, you know, I'm when I got here, it was hard for me to do that early in recovery. Right? Because, you know, I didn't want y'all to know who I was. But, man, guess what? You know, I got to pull the covers off myself. I got to reveal myself to y'all because y'all is my help. You know, y'all are the only help that I have, man. And so that's, you know, that, you know, and that's what they talking about, another recovering addict, right? You know what I'm saying? That's our ultimate weapon, is another recovering addict. That's the ultimate weapon in this program, man. And so I'm grateful, man. And like I say, man, you know, and I'm gonna keep, you know, I got a sponsor today, man, that I call him every day. And he picks up the phone. And guess what? And that's what I needed, man. And we work step work every Wednesday at 4 o'clock. We do step work every Wednesday. This somebody that's with 34 years. You know, and so the thing about it, you know, I always say this, that I ain't going to get this thing 100. I ain't going to graduate out this program, and I ain't going to get no trophy at the end of it. I'm going to be going to meetings for the rest of my life. You know what? Scotty J is all right with that, right? And my high power always, you know, he always says, Scotty, you need something extra. I say, something extra? He say, yeah, you're going to need something extra. I say, what is something extra? He say, church just ain't going to be enough. He said, your family just ain't going to be enough. Your job ain't going to be. He said, Scotty, you're going to need something extra. I asked God. I said, what is the extra? He said, it's the program of Narcotics Anonymous. He said, you ain't going to be able to function in this world without this program. You know, and so what I got to understand, that I'm an addict. And I'm going to always be an addict. For the rest of my life, I'm going to be an addict. And guess what? But guess what? This program right here tells me that it gives me solutions to my problems, right? You know, and all I got to do is just stick and stay, you know, and they say, keep coming back, but come back clean. And that's what I do, man. And that's what I've been doing, man, for over 34 years. You know, I don't know no better, man. I love going to meetings, right? And then, like I say, this pandemic, when the pandemic hit, right? You know, and when the pandemic hit, man, they took us all inside, right? And then we had to get on virtual. We had to do these virtual meetings. Right? And man, I didn't know how to function, but guess what, man? I made it work. And it talks about in the literature, Scotty, find your niche. And man, I do a lot of virtual meetings, right? And I still do a lot. I know the pandemic been gone almost 6 years ago, but I still do. And see, what I love about Narcotics Anonymous, they adopted, you know, the virtual meetings as a regular meeting. You can go on NA.org and you can find meetings all over the world. They got over 5,000 virtual meetings right now. And so it's no excuse for Scotty. It's no excuse for Scotty not to make a meeting. Today I can, you know, with this virtual platform, I can make a meeting all day long. And that's good for me, right? You know, and a lot of people say, Scotty, man, you got 34 years. Why you go to so many meetings? Why not? Why not, man? Because guess what? You know, see the thing about this disease, that it's progressive, right? You know, it's fatal, you know, and it's insidious. It'll wait on you. This disease will slow walk you into a trap, right? And so I gotta always, and see, that's why I stay in step study meetings. That's why I stay in tradition study meetings, and that's why I stay in concept study meetings. You know, I stay in those meetings, right? And see, the literature talks about it's good to be well-versed in the literature. It's good to be well-versed. Get in that literature, man. Read it. study it, right? Because guess what, man? That's my survival kit, man. You know, and so, you know, before I go, man, I always, I always like to say this, because I love our slogans, right? And I love our cliche. I say, newcomer, keep coming back. More be revealed. Don't give up 5 minutes for the miracle. Give time, time. Those who keep coming to meetings regularly, stay clean. Meeting makers make it. And newcomer, you never, right, have to use again. It talks about in our literature that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. They said our message is hope and the promise of freedom. So I'm going to say this, newcomer, newcomer, newcomer. Hey, man, y'all keep coming back, because guess what? Scotty J going to keep coming back. Thank you for letting me share, man. Thank you, Hagner. Thank y'all. Thank you for letting me share.